Hi, everybody. Yeah. It's good to be back here to worship the Lord with you this morning. About a month ago, Pastor Wei asked me to share the Word of God to you all. And then he specifically asked me to think about some of the greatest lesson learned that I have throughout the years. When I think about that and I pray about it, then it came to mind really the last word that Jesus talked to Peter, the Apostle Peter, recorded in John chapter 21, was very appropriate. It not only appropriate for us to know what Jesus had talked to Peter, but also it reminded me about some of the things that happened in my life throughout the years. So, shall we just read John chapter 21, starting from verse 15 to 22. There are only two slides over there. Shall we read together? Okay. When they have finished breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to John, to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I said to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This is said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you for really showing us this passage to allow us to understand that we are part of the family in spite of the shortcomings of Peter and of all of us. We are still part of the family. And then you are the one who want us to belong to you and to walk with you. Father, this morning, open our hearts and our mind to you as we learn from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Jesus had some last word to talk to Peter. And basically, Peter at that time, in the context, you probably know that Peter denied Jesus three times to know him. And then basically Peter said, "Well, in spite of all these relationships that I have with Jesus, when the trial came, I basically couldn't stand it. I denied Jesus." And then when Jesus looked at him after he denied Jesus, Peter was so upset with himself and was so sad. He went out and cried. He almost thought that he lost the relationship with Jesus. However, when we came to this passage, Jesus specifically came and seek out Peter, really reminding him that you are still part of the family. That's the last word that Jesus wanted Peter to know. It's kind of like in John chapter 1, verse 12, that because Peter already believed in Jesus Christ, he's part of the family. In spite of the shortcomings, Jesus still loved him. However, Jesus wanted him to be mindful, since you're part of the family, you have a new identity. You are in my family. You need to really live out as part of the family and to represent me in this world. So really today, I want to kind of share 4 points from the last word of Jesus to Peter to show that as he was part of the family of Jesus, that his identity really matters a lot. And there are 4 parts to show forth the characteristics of being part of the family of God. And one is loving Jesus is more important than ministry. And the second one, setting example is more important than teaching. And the third, glorifying God is more important than life and death. And finally, following Jesus is more important than looking at other people or comparing with other people. The first characteristics of being in the family of God is really to love Jesus more than anything else, more than even your ministry. And I think, you know, love is really the characteristic that binds the family together. I think, you know, no matter what you do, if you don't have love, it's nothing. And I remember I worked for BP for 38 years. It's a long time. I worked very hard. And then, you know, BP paid me very well. However, you know, I don't love BP. It's only a working relationship. You know, I work hard, I got paid, but really there's no love in that relationship. It's almost like a master-servant or an employer-employee relationship. But the family is different. Look at the family. The mother loved the children so much that she is willing to work hard, to sacrifice for the children. The father is the same way. And I think it's the same as in the family of God as well. And I still remember, you know, just this verse, Jesus used 3 times to talk to Peter because he denied Jesus 3 times. He was upset with himself. He was devastated. He didn't know whether Jesus would accept him back. But Jesus told him, "Yes, Peter, do you love me?" And then Peter really acknowledged that he really loved Jesus. "Even though I screw up, however, I love you." It's just like in a family. Once in a while, we also screw up. However, if you are part of the family, you will not be kicked out from the family. Love still abides inside the family. So Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And then Peter said, "Yes, I love you." And so Jesus said, "Because you love me, and then you feed my sheep or feed my lamb 3 times. The first criteria for the ministry is to love. If you don't have love for God, you do not have love for one another. Unless you have love for God as part of the family, you will not, you know, do well. Or even if you work hard in the ministry, it's hard work. You'll get burned out. And I will share with you, you know, one of my failure in my testimony throughout the years, in the beginning of my journey, it was almost like 50 years ago. So you know that, you know, I was really very old. 50 years ago, when I was in college, I was involved with a Christian group called the Navigators. I was not a very outgoing person. However, I really love to serve. And so when I was involved with the Navigator, I was involved in Bible study, even leading Bible study. I went to the dorm to witness along with the other friends. And then I even stood outside of the cafeteria waiting for the people to come out and then passing out tracts. So I did everything right, and I was very fervent in the ministry. But deep down in my heart, I know that's the way for me to prove myself that even though I'm not an outgoing person, I work and I ministry very hard, then I will be accepted. I'll be the leader. I don't really have a pure love for God, a pure motive for God and as well for people. And then, long and behold, the first Christmas in my college, we have a Navigator retreat that everybody got together, almost close to 500 people. And then the Navigator staff asked me and say, "Hey, Ben, why don't you share a testimony?" And that night, I was so scared because deep down in my heart, I knew through the conviction of God that whenever I minister to other people diligently, my heart was not right. I only wanted to gain, approval, gain fame, gain other people's respect. But I did not really truly have the love for God and for people. So that night, when I was asked to share the testimony, instead of sharing the good things, I share my failure because God convicted me. Oh, that was the turning point in my life. It was a relief knowing that without the love of God, there is no way I can love other people. And so this is exactly what Jesus talked to Peter. "Do you love me? If you love me, then you can feed my sheep. You can feed my lamb." The second thing that Jesus also talked to Peter is the setting an example is more important than teaching. And then, like in this verse, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Here, particularly, Jesus is using an illustration about a relationship between the shepherd and the lamb, or the sheep. It's an illustration that Peter, you being a shepherd, need to feed my people, the lamb, with the love of God. You know that, of course, in America, you don't seldom see a shepherd or a sheep. I went to Jerusalem before, and also I went to New Zealand, and I really saw the shepherd and the sheep. And you know that the sheep is very dumb. They follow the cloud. If there's no shepherd leading them, the sheep can go anywhere, going astray. So the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep really have two important points here when Jesus was talking about. A shepherd, first of all, has to lead the sheep. And lead the sheep to where? Typically to two important places. One is to the green pastures so that the sheep or the lamb can have food to eat. And secondly, also leading the sheep or the lamb to a river, a brook, a creek, so that they can have water to drink. So here you can see that the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep really include two important points. One is leading or setting an example for the sheep to follow. And then secondly, is the feeding them, teaching them. And then when we look at this passage, Jesus, even though say feeding the lamb or feeding the sheep, but the most important thing is to lead. If you don't lead, the sheep or the lamb cannot go to the place where they can be fed or that they can drink the proper water. So setting an example is very, very important. And Peter, throughout his life, he understood that. That's why in 1 Peter, chapter 2:2, Peter mentioned about teaching, about feeding. He said, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So everyone will be fed the word of God. The shepherd is supposed to teach the word of God to the lamb, to the sheep. However, Peter also in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3, he said that to the elders or to the shepherd of the church or the flock, he said that you and an elder are not lording over those who are really entrusted to you, but rather be an example to them. So Peter understood that when Jesus told him, setting an example, leading the sheep to the right place for the green pasture, for the right place to drink, is even more important. Way back in the 60s, there is a song called Cats in the Cradle, sung by Harry Chapin. I'm sure a lot of you have not heard about it. I don't know, whether some of you are old enough to listen to a song. This is not a Christian song. However, the lyrics is very, very touching, very insightful. You can always go to the internet, search for Cats in the Cradle, sung by Harry Chapin, and the YouTube, and you can listen to it. But this is a song about a father and a son relationship. How the father really, in the lyrics, he say, well, I'm working very hard to try to provide for the family, so I have no time for my son. I buy things for him, I feed him, but I have no time for him. I don't set any example. And yet the son look at the father and say, I just want to be like you. And then at the end of his life, of when he retired, he has nothing to do. Now he comes back and look for his son. And then his son now turn around and say, I'm just like you. I'm so busy. I can't have time with you. It's a very, very sad story, song, but it really gives us the gist of what's going on. And I just give you some of the lyrics. He said that my child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking before I knew it. And he grew. He said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And then he goes on in the song and say, my son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's pray. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do, he said. That's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You go, I'm going to be like you. And then at the end of the song, he said, I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's hustle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. So finally, the song ends up and say, "And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he has grown up just like me. My boy was just like me." Indeed, his son emulate his father's example. But what a sad and a negative example that the father has toward his son. As in the family, you know, we should be mindful of what kind of examples do I have. And I think one thing that I really want to, you know, encourage, that discipleship occurs first and utmost at your personal home. If you don't disciple your children at home, how can you disciple a bigger group in the church, even though your personal home and the church is still a family? And then we can see that. And it dawns on me, and I will share an insight from my granddaughter, Chloe. She's only 1 year old. And she started walking, kind of walk a little bit and stumble. But she started walking before she talks. And then it really dawned to me that this, that God gave me a truth. A little child always walk first before they talk. Why I want to say that? Jesus told us, be like a little child. You walk before you talk. And you realize as you grow up, the more older you are, the more talkative you are. And yet, less work you do. Right? We have so many experiences we can talk about, and yet we don't do anything. We don't walk the talk. Yet the little child gave us a very, very wonderful truth. This is the truth that comes from God. Walking, setting example, is more important than just talking. And that's what Jesus told Peter. And then the third thing, glorifying God is more important than life and death. You can look at this, the verse that it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This is set to show by what kind of death he, or Peter, was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." Indeed, Jesus reminds Peter, when he followed Jesus, he is bound to face some difficulty, suffering, or trials. But he reminds Peter, remember, glorifying me, honor me as part of the family is more important than life and death. It's just like in a family. In a family, you don't disown your family. You honor the name. You honor the head of the family. And that's what Jesus was saying. You know, what is the meaning of a Christian? It was first recorded in the Bible in the book of Acts. And it says that when those people, they love one another, they share things with one another, they reach out joyfully, those are the people that people recognize that they belong to Christ. They honor Christ as a family. And that's why they call them Christian or little Jesus. And that's what Jesus was saying. Peter, you're bound to face difficulty. You might even die not the way that you want when you are old.
Right now, when you are young, you can move around freely, do whatever thing you want to do. But when you are old, you will be bound by somebody. And when we look at the history from the Bible, the book of Acts, Peter indeed suffered. He was bitten for the sake of the gospel. He was put in jail for the sake of Jesus. And then also in the history, the church history, we knew that Peter was basically put to death by being crucified upside down because of Jesus. Peter indeed suffered. However, throughout the years, he glorified our Lord Jesus. I like to read Christian missionary books. And one of the a Greek missionary to China, his name is called Hudson Taylor, who was the founder of China Inner Mission, which is right now Overseas Mission Fellowship. And there was one verse, an important quote, that he mentioned. He said, "Christ is either Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. And yet, Christ is the Lord of me." Indeed, when he went to China, he suffered a lot for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. In one particular year, in the year 1870, he lost a six-year-old son. And then he also lost a newborn babe along with his wife. Just one year alone, he lost three members of his family. And yet, in spite of all these, he never gave up for God. And then he even said, "Christ is either Lord of all, or Christ is not Lord at all." Hudson Taylor wanted to glorify God, and he did that. Peter did the same thing. Throughout the biblical history, we find there are many people, big and small, because of their devotion to God, they have the same thing. Look at the Queen Esther. When she faced difficulty, she said, "If I die, I die," in order to go before the king to plead for her people. So, glorifying our Lord Jesus is more important than life and death. Sometimes we may not feel like that we will suffer so much in America. However, no matter our trials, big and small, what Jesus wants is don't dishonor your family. Don't, but rather glorify our Lord Jesus. And finally, Jesus told Peter, following him is more important than looking at others or comparing with others. So Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, and that person is the Apostle John, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Jesus reminded Peter one more time that you only need to follow me. You don't need to look at other people. In the house of God, in the family of God, there are so many people have so many different characteristics, different gifts, different talents. Don't try to look at other people to compare with other people. Just like Peter, he heard what Jesus told him about what happened to him in the future. Now he was curious and said, "What happened to John? How come he could live on and yet I die?" So He started to compare. And yet Jesus reminded Peter not to do that. Just look at him alone. Follow him alone. And I want to share with you, again, you know, some of my experiences in the past. One was a failure, and then God restored me back, and then gave me really a lot of blessing out of it. You know, almost like 22 years ago, when I was working, I was only a normal chemical engineer working in my company. And then, at that time, for some reason, the company selected me to participate in a weekend, company retreat with a lot of the top level and managers, vice president, president, to learn about the company's strategy, directions. I was selected by them. Why, I felt so happy. So I went to Wisconsin for that conference, a retreat, for the weekend. And then, in the first dinner time, I was almost the lowest level chemical engineer among all the big shots. You know, general manager, vice president, president of the company. So that first dinner, I was put in a table with all those senior vice presidents for dinner. And yet I'm only a common chemical engineer. I was very nervous, and yet I was very happy. And, you know, I don't know what to do, you know. And yet, when I sat in there and listening to the people, and I find the people, some are good, some are bad, some really talk a lot about dirty jokes or whatever. But then when the time comes when, you know, the food is going to be brought in, then all of a sudden it dawned on me, shall I really say a word of grace in front of all these people? I was really, really nervous and upset. But I was really the lowest chemical engineer among all these big shots. I dare not do that. So I just bowed down my head and, you know, pretending that I pray, but I'm not really praying. You know, my heart was pounding. And of course, basically, after that dinner, you know, I felt so bad because I knew that I did not make a stand before the Lord because I was so afraid being a low-level chemical engineer in front of all these senior vice presidents, and yet I was chosen in this conference. You know, if I behave so well, I'm bound to be chosen and then we'll move up. But I forgot my testimony. So, it's just like here. I did not follow Jesus because I look at other people. What do they think about me? I felt so sad. I was upset with myself. And I know I also sinned against the Lord. So, I confessed my sin. But I was very, very upset, very sad for 1 year. Even after I confessed my sin. But long and behold, you know, 1 year has passed. I was sent to China, to Beijing, as part of a team to work on a bidding process with our partner from China, the Chinese National Offshore Oil Company, CNOOC, to bid for an LNG import terminal project in Guangdong. And I was part of the team. And then I stayed there for 1 month in Beijing. And lo and behold, The first night again, we have a dinner with my company, BP, as well as with CNOP. And 20 years ago, you know, China was still kind of not quite open, you know. And then, of course, they respect us from overseas to come. So they say, well, oh, you are great as an engineer. And they talk and then praise you or whatever. And then it's about the time when they started to pick up the chopstick and try to eat. Then I have the courage to tell both the engineer from CNOC as well as my BP colleagues, say, you guys can go ahead and eat, but if you don't mind, I would like to say a word of prayer, you know, before the meal, because I'm a Christian. And all of a sudden, when I spoke that word out, everybody stopped. So I say a word of prayer, a silent prayer. And I initially was nervous, but then after my prayer, then they start eating, and then you know, everything resumed normal. I felt a peace within my heart. But you know what? After the dinner, when we all left, all of a sudden, there was someone tap on my back and stop me. And there was a Chinese engineer from CNOP and say, hey, can you wait for a minute? I want to talk to you. I say, okay. Before I go back to the hotel. He say, oh, I saw you saying a word of grace, and I want to tell you, I'm also a Christian. That was 20 years ago. Being a Christian in China should be very secretive. And he said, I'm also a Christian. Can I come to your hotel so that we can have some time of fellowship? I was overjoyed. That night, he came to my hotel, and then we have a wonderful time of fellowship. And then he said, well, since you're going to be here in Beijing for 1 month, I will take you to my church every Sunday. And I was so happy. So every Sunday, he came and took me to his house church for 4 Sundays. I have great fellowship for that month. And not only that, the story did not end. Since that time, I came to know a lot of the Christians from his house churches. And through the word of mouth, they introduced me to other house churches around different provinces in China. And those were the contacts that started my China mission. So since that time, for 20 years, every year, I went to China for short-term mission. All because of these people who are my contact through the word of mouth, that I was able to go from house churches to house churches teaching the Bible. Wow. It's just because of one person I was able to go and know some of the other people around China. And this taught me a lesson. Following Jesus is indeed more important than looking at other people, to try to gain approval from other people. Our approval, our acceptance, is only in Christ Jesus, because we belong to the same family. So, what's the last word? Our label, our identity matters, because we belong to the same family. There's no place like home. That's what Jesus said. Because you are part of the family, you belong to me. Your identity, your label in my family matter, counts. And as a result, you will carry these four characteristics from the family throughout the world, you will love Jesus more than your ministry. You will set example more than teaching. You will glorify me more.